Good morning and welcome to worship. My name is Lenora Russo and I am one of the pastors here at Trinity. And we are thrilled that you have chosen to be here. If you come on a regular basis, it's always a joy to be able to share this time with you. And if this is your first time here, we want to know how especially glad that you have chosen to be here with us this morning. And we hope that you experience a warm and welcoming atmosphere. I wanted to point your attention to the Connect card in your bulletin. If you can take that out and take a moment just to complete that. If you're here regularly, your name and your email would be wonderful. It helps us to stay connected with you. And if there's anything that you want to let us know about, you can use the Connect card to do that. And if this is your first time here, we would welcome as much information as you are willing to share with us. Later when we take the offering, you'll be able to turn these in. Our mission box for today is an opportunity where we give above and beyond our regular tithes and offerings to help missions throughout our local area and throughout the world. And today we are going to be packaging meals for 30,000 people in Honduras, actually children. 12,000 children are fed twice a week with these meals, and we encourage you to come back after the 11 o'clock service to work with us and to dedicate however much time you have to putting these meals together. We also ask you to consider giving generously today to cover the cost of those meals. And you can do that by using the mission boxes you see as you exit our worship center today. Our focus for today's scripture is going to be on Noah, who was called to create a safe place of refuge for his family and for creation before the floods covered the earth. For each of us, whether you're here regularly or whether you are a newcomer, we want all of you to feel like this is a safe place of refuge for your soul. And with that in mind, I say to you this morning, welcome home. Will you take a moment to greet those around you? And if there is someone you don't know, make sure to introduce yourself.
Good morning, everyone. Would you please remain standing and join me as we begin our worship time together with the song, How Firm a Foundation.
Say them to you, he hath said to you. God, we are grateful that you have gathered us here this morning. And as we worship you, we pray that you change our hearts and lives, make us different from how we came this morning. Transform us, we pray. Now would you join me in affirming our faith. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is the one true church, apostolic and universal, whose holy faith let us now declare. We believe in God the Father, infinite in wisdom, power, and love, whose mercy is over all his works, and whose will is ever directed to his children's good. We believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God and Son of Man, the gift of the Father's unfailing grace, the ground of our hope, and the promise of our deliverance from sin and death. We believe in the Holy Spirit as the divine presence in our lives, whereby we are kept in perpetual remembrance of the truth of Christ and find strength and help in time of need. We believe that this faith should manifest itself in the service of love, as set forth in the example of our blessed Lord, to the end that the kingdom of God may come upon the earth. We have the privilege now to go to God together in prayer, and just want to acknowledge that we all come here from different spaces, different places, and we have maybe celebrations, offerings of praise and thanksgiving to God for his work in and through us, concerns that we might have in our hearts. And so as we unite our hearts, you'll be lifting those to God in prayer. We want to also keep these folks in our prayers, the names you see here. These are folks who are receiving nurture and support from our congregational care team. Also wanted to let you know I received an email this morning from Reverend David Leonard, who many of you know fell yesterday and broke a rib, and is asking for our prayers as he heals. We do want to celebrate Sunlight's mission. They returned last night. Not without a bit of a mishap. There was a flat tire on the bus, and so they kind of made their trip home from Orlando Airport a little challenging, but they are all safe and sound and have a successful mission, and so we celebrate that. So let us turn to God now and go to God in prayer, and I will be using a litany for the church and for the world this morning, and with each petition I will say, Lord, in your mercy, and then I'll invite you to respond, hear our prayer. So let us pray together. Grant, Almighty God, that all who confess your name may be united in your truth, live together in your love, and reveal your glory in the world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Guide the people of this land and of all the nations in the ways of justice and peace, that we may honor one another and serve the common good. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Give us all a reverence for the earth as your own creation, that we may use its resources rightly in the service of others and to your honor and glory. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Bless all whose lives are closely linked with ours, and grant that we may serve Christ in them and love one another as Christ loves us. Lord, in your mercy, comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. Give them courage and hope in their troubles, and bring them the joy of your salvation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We commend to your mercy all who have died, that your will for them may be fulfilled. and we pray that we may share with all your saints in your eternal kingdom. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We offer these prayers through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Followers of Jesus Christ, committed to making a difference in the world, and as members of Christ's holy church, we covenant with one another to share our resources to the end that we have resources available to carry out the ministry that we feel God calling us to the church. So let us worship God with offering, and as the ushers come, I will pray for us. Gracious God, you are indeed the giver of every good thing we enjoy in our lives. Give us joyful hearts to give back to you now from what you first gave to us. Multiply these tithes, these offerings, for the good of your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. We pray in Jesus' name. Thank you.
gorgeous. Thank you. Well, this morning we are embarking on a brand new sermon series. And for the next 7 weeks, we're going to be exploring the unexpected journey. Stories in Genesis where God had redirected the lives of ordinary people in unexpected ways so that they became active participants in God's mission to save and redeem this world. And I am grateful for the sunshine yesterday and today, but as I was working on this sermon and all the rain that we experienced last week, it seemed strangely eerie to me that we are launching this sermon series with the story of Noah. And of course, the good news and the promise of the rainbow is that God will never flood the entire earth again. And nevertheless, I believe it would be wise for us to pray before we dive into the scripture this morning. So let's pray together. God of all creation, allow the Holy Spirit that once hovered over the waters of creation to breathe new life into each of us here, so that as the scriptures are read and your word is fulfilled, we may hear with joy what you have to say to us today. Amen. So we're going to begin in Genesis chapter 6, verses 9 through 22. Hear now the word of God. These are Noah's descendants. In his generation, Noah was a moral and exemplary man. He walked with God. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. In God's sight, the earth had become corrupt and was filled with violence. God saw that the earth was corrupt because all the creatures behaved corruptly on the earth. God said to Noah, "The end has come for all creatures since they have filled the earth with violence. I am now about to destroy them along with the earth. So make a wooden ark. Make the ark a nest with nesting places and cover it inside and out with tar. This is how you should make it. 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. Make a roof for the ark and complete it 1 foot from the top. Put a door on its side, and in the hold below, make the second and third deck. Now I'm bringing the flood waters over all the earth to destroy everything under the sky that breathes. Everything on the earth is about to take its last breath. But I will set up a covenant with you. You will go into the ark together with your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives. From all living things, from all creatures, you are to bring a pair, male and female, into the ark with you to keep them alive. From each kind of bird, from each kind of livestock, from each kind of everything that crawls on the ground, a pair from each will go with you to stay alive. Take some food from every kind of food and sow it as food for you and for the animals." Noah did everything exactly as God commanded him. That last line, Noah did everything exactly as God commanded him. When I read statements like that, I cannot help but pause. Everything exactly as God commanded it? Even on my best days, I cannot get close to making that claim. I am just not that sanctified yet, let alone over the duration of 40 to 100 years. That is how long scholars believe it took to Noah to build this ark that God had called him to build. And what's more, that ark was the length of 1.5 football field, and it could hold up to 800 railroad cars. Can you imagine dedicating decades after decades to building that kind of huge monstrosity in the middle of a desert where it hardly ever even rains? To everyone who knew him, Noah's quest to build this ark, this gigantic box, while prophesying that a flood was coming and it was going to cover the entire earth, everyone who seemed completely insane. And as I've pondered the magnitude of his faithful obedience and what my response might have been, I can't help but think of the modern movie Evan Almighty. It's a comical portrayal of the Noah narrative. Shortly after the movie begins, the newly elected congressman, Evan Baxter, finds himself on his knees, asking God to help him fulfill his campaign promise to change the world. Here's how God chooses to answer that prayer. We have a short clip from the movie.
Early on, it was very costly. If you set a punting from deep in their own territory, they're already at the midfield right now.
Yeah, and that's just that quick throw. And then, again, it's kind of three steps up. You just...
Dad, what are you doing? I'm watching this.
Gen 614.
Joe, do we have a Bible anywhere?
Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Gopher
wood. Gopher wood. Get it?
Go.
Well, it's not really gopher wood. I just like the wordplay.
No, it's pine and maple. It was clear cut from this valley to make room for all those houses.
Excuse me, do I know you?
Not as well as I'd like. I see you got my house phone, didn't you?
That was you? You sent those? What are they for? Hey.
Genesis chapter 6, verse 14. I want you to build an ark.
You want me to build an ark?
Yes.
So that's why the tools... And you are responsible for the wood?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, let's just start over. Ha ha! Hello, I am Evan Baxter.
I'm born June 15th, 1962. 8 pounds, 11 ounces. Mother's Carol Ann Parker. Father, Eugene Evan Baxter.
Ooh, you have internet access. Very impressive. Do you also have cable?
You're a clean freak. You care much too much about your outward appearance. Your left nipple is a quarter inch higher than your right nipple, and when you were a little boy, you were afraid of Gumby.
Who are you?
I'm God.
You are God?
Yes. And I want you, Evan Baxter, to build a mark.
Okay, you know what? This conversation is a little thing I like to call over. But I gotta get going. You gotta, frankly, I have an ark to build. Busy, 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 busy. Nice meeting you. Take care. Oh, and... All right. See you later. Get off, Evan. It's over. My case is gone. I am successful. I'm powerful. I'm handsome. I'm happy. Successful, powerful, handsome. Evan! Oh!
Get it out, son. It's the beginning of wisdom.
How did you get in here? Now I'm calling the cops.
Oh, no, no need. Look, there's one right there. Right there.
Officer!
Carjacker! Carjacker!
Here's
the car! Here's the car!
Oh!
Careful pulling out. Pedestrian in the crosswalk.
Oh!
That movie. It just captures how I would have reacted. And I love Morgan Freeman as God and Steve Carell. Their acting in those movies just seems divinely inspired to me. But from this clip, you get the idea. God answers Evan's prayer by asking him to build an ark. Evan clearly resists embracing this call, and yet through a series of very comical encounters, God finally proves to Evan that he really is God. And he really does want him to build this ark for a flood that is coming to the middle of suburbia. At first, God's call made no logical sense to Evan. His family, his co-workers, his neighborhood, and all of them, in one way or another, abandoned and ostracized him. But Then once Evan finally embraced God's call for his life with faithfulness, miracles truly started to happen in his own life, within his family, and then together they became a witness of God's grace and mercy to all those around them. 8 years ago, Aaron and I were finding a new stride within our own professional lives, within our family, within our ministry. And as I looked at the world around me at that time, the injustice and suffering that I saw started to really weigh on my heart. And I remember crying out to God, time after time in worship, here I am, Lord. Send me. Help me help you change the world. And God decided to answer that prayer, but he decided to answer that prayer by calling me to be a pastor. The problem was I had my own ideas of how I wanted God to answer that prayer, and being a pastor was not at all on my radar. In fact, it was the most unpopular idea God could have come up with, in my opinion. There was a series of not so comical, but equally miraculous events in my own life that finally convinced me that God's ways truly are better than my own. His plans really do supersede mine. And so here I am, 8 years later, finishing up my first year as an employment pastor in the United Methodist Church. The first thing that I learned through all of this is be careful what you pray for. Because God is going to answer your prayers. And if you sincerely want God to change the world, God is going to start by changing you first. The second thing I learned in all of this is that when God responds to our cries to use us to change the world, you can expect that God's answer to that prayer is going to be both counterintuitive and countercultural. Precisely because if it's not, is anything really going to change? The cross is proof of this. In the Jewish culture, there was nothing more shameful or unpopular than being hung on a cross to die. Yet the cross becomes the very means by which God unleashes real and lasting change upon the earth. Through his death and through his resurrection, Christ literally became the ark for each and every one of us to experience God's amazing grace and redeeming love at work in our own lives. Which brings us back to our text. In chapter 7, we're going to fast forward. It reads, the waters rose over the earth for 150 days. And from there it jumps to chapter 8. So I'm going to pause right there. Because we have all experienced rising storms at some point in our lives. And you might be in one of those storms right now. The good news is that no matter how high those waters rise, you can be assured that God is always at work. In the midst of our storms, piecing things together to create safe passage for us in Christ, both temporally and eternally. It's interesting to note that the word for ark in the Hebraic text is tabah. It's the same word used for the basket that held baby Moses, and it's only used in those two instances. That's probably because it wasn't a common Hebrew word, but it was a common Egyptian word. It meant coffin. Thus, it's been traditionally translated in both of these narratives to mean life-saving vessel or life preserver. Do you see the irony that's going on here? God called Noah to create a massive coffin that would prove to be a life-saving vessel for all who bought it. Much like the irony of the cross and the empty tomb, which were meant for one man's death, but proved to be the source of eternal life for all humankind. Today, the church is still called to create spaces that enable others to encounter Christ and find refuge. The problem is, for far too long, the wrong reasons, as the world increasingly views the church as a place where they would feel least safe and most unwelcome. We see this reality played out time and time again on social media, where accusations are made that Christians are judgmental, hypocritical, self-righteous, bigoted, homophobic, unkind, and that's just for starters, which is a very sad state of affairs for those that Christ chose to know by our love. And yet, I will tell you that this perception is just not true of all Christians. I didn't grow up in the church, and I can certainly point to people in my life who I have experienced those exact same characteristics flowing out of them. But what is equally true is that I would not be standing here today if it weren't for the unconditional love and grace and kindness and encouragement that I have experienced from Christians who were literally Christ to me, who threw me a life preserver when I needed it the very most. So despite popularity polls or public opinion, the Church Universal is still meant to be in the life-preserving, ark-building business, because the church is the body of Christ, created by God. And thank God, God's mission will not be thwarted by our human limitations or our brokenness. And like Noah, at times we are called to be unpopular, but unpopular for the right reason. Unpopular because we're taking risks and going out on the limb so that we can be who God created us to be. Which brings us back to our text once again. In Genesis, beginning in chapter 8, verses 14 through 19, we read, "In the second month, on the seventh day, the earth was dry. God spoke to Noah, 'Go out of the ark, you and your wife and your sons' wives with you. Bring out with you all the animals of every kind, birds, livestock, everything crawling on the ground, so that they may populate the earth, be fertile, and multiply on the earth.' So Noah went out of the ark with his sons, his wife, and his sons' wives, all of the animals, all of the livestock, all of the birds, and everything crawling on the ground came out of the ark by their families. Once the floods receded, Noah was told to leave the shelter of his wife's work. He had to leave it behind. Likewise, once we have experienced God's saving grace in our own lives, we are called to move beyond our comfort zones, to go out in the world and help others find safe passage onto dry ground, to find safe passage for their souls where they experience God's love for themselves. Going back to the movie, Evan Almighty, there is a scene, I love this scene, in which God explains to Evan the way to change the world by building an ark. Not just literally, but also figuratively. One act of random kindness at a time. When I heard this, I was immediately reminded of Micah 6:8, in which Micah says, "He has told you, O mortal, what is good. What does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly before God?" Yet I would like to suggest one alteration to the anecdote. Instead of merely being random, I prefer the word redeeming, because God's love for us is anything but random. And in our mirroring of that love, it requires us to intentionally respond to the promptings of the Holy Spirit that well up inside of us so that we can bring redemptive healing or peace or joy or hope to those that we encounter. And so how do we get back into the ark building business as a church and change the world? I suggest that it's one act of redeeming kindness at a time. live our lives. And if we're going to positively change the perception of the church and the world today, this seems like a valid place for us to start. As I preached on Wednesday, Nan Gordon afterwards shared with me a story that she had read on Facebook through Wicker that illustrates this point beautifully. A woman had noticed a family eating ice cream together. Just sitting together and eating ice cream. And she felt a nudge. She used her phone to take a picture of them. And she did. And then she handed it to the teenage daughter and said, text it to yourself so you can have the picture. Just a few days after, she received this message from the father. Dear madam, you took our picture in front of Rita's on June 8th. My wife passed away yesterday, and this is the last picture we've had together as a family. Please accept my deepest gratitude for your kindness. It means the world to me. Thank you. From the bottom of my heart. And then she reflected in her post the following words. Never underestimate simple acts of random kindness. My heart is heavy for this sweet family that I don't even know and the tremendous gift that was left to them because I listened to my guests. I am in awe. We have examples in our midst here as well. The Sunlight team just got back late last night from their castaway mission trip in Jamaica. I've got their t-shirt hanging right over here. They built 3 homes for families while they also shared their musical gifts and talents. And in the process, everyone they encountered seemed to know the love and hope that they had in Jesus Christ. When Aaron and Ted first brought this idea up, it was initially quite unpopular. Yet, they persisted to share their vision, and as they did, we became thankful for it because both the tour and the mission proved to be life-giving to everyone who participated, whether it was locally or internationally. So how do we change the world? How do we build arcs as a church today? One act of redeeming kindness at a time. Here at Trinity, many of you already embody this kind of radical and faithful obedience in your lives. And to all of you, I say, keep up the good work. But there are some of us, including myself, who could stand to grow in this area. And there may be a few of you who are wrestling with a call to do something radically different with your time and with your resources. And if that's you, you know who you are. That call may seem highly illogical, or maybe even unpopular with you or your family or your coworkers or friends. But if it's of God, it's not going to go away. So the challenge for each of us is to act on those impulses that God places in our hearts. The world and the church universal need more courageous folks like Noah who are willing to take those awkward or unpopular risks to follow where God is leading them in order to get close enough to other people so that we can show them a life preserver for those who are drowning and suffering and injustice. That life preserver, my friends, is Christ himself. So whether it's radical change in your own life plan, or whether it's radical obedience in the ordinary moments of our lives, each of us, each and every one of us, has an arc that only we can build within the context of our lives. And so I encourage you to change the world, one act of redeeming kindness at a time. Go and dedicate yourself to building that arc that God has created you to build. Amen. We have an opportunity now to love
you recently. Come on up, stand, and come on all the way. So every couple months, we run a class called the Disciples Path. It's our membership class, 7 weeks, and we just wrapped one up last Sunday, a great little class. And this is one of the ways that here at Trinity, we invite people to respond to God's work in their lives. We formally join the membership of this church so that we can have partners to respond to God's calling on our lives. So this is Stan Beckerdyke and his wife, Ann Abbott. They have two adult sons, Nick and Andrew. Andrew, who I've gotten to know quite well through my Wednesday night young adult group called Coffee Talk. He's a neat guy. Stan is on the board of Family Promise, which is a ministry that we're all quite familiar with here at Trinity. And Ann does work with the 5-Day Academy, which is a ministry of Upper Room. So we're grateful that they are going to be joining us here at Trinity by transfer of membership. And Lenora is going to ask them additional membership questions.
The first thing you can answer, I do. On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of this sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever form they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church? With Christ, He has opened up the church to people of all ages, nations, and races. Two more, you can answer, I will. As members of Christ's Universal Church, will you be loyal to the Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen this ministry? And as members of this congregation, will you faithfully participate in its ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service,
and I believe we have a response to join together. We welcome you into our family of faith. We join you in reaffirming our commitment to the mission of this church to make disciples of Jesus Christ devoted to making a difference in the world. And today we might add devoted to making a difference in the world by going forth and completing acts of kindness. Church, would you join me in welcoming Stan and Ann to our congregation? Thank you. Thank you. Glad you guys are joining.
Yeah. Welcome.
So now we come to this table. And I'm reminded of after the church received the gift of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, and those first disciples committed to making a difference in the world, they were devoted themselves to the fellowship, the community, their church, to the teaching of the apostles, to the sharing of the bread and the prayers. All of this instituted through the work of Jesus Christ and the gift of the Holy Spirit. So we remember that night that Jesus sat with his disciples, and he took bread and gave thanks to his Father in heaven, and he broke the bread, offered it to the disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you." And then when the supper was over, he took the cup, which according to the Passover custom that they were following that night was the cup of redemption. He gave thanks to his Father in heaven, and then he offered it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this and remember this." So let's pray. Almighty God, pour out your Holy Spirit on this, your faithful gathering, on this gift of bread and juice. Make it be for us the body and blood of Christ, so that we might be the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world. We seek to combine our efforts, to combine our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and build arcs. Pray these things in Jesus' name. If you are going to be helping us serve communion, would you please make your way forward to receive these elements? And as they come, let me just share a word with you about communion in the United Methodist Church. This is an open table. You don't have to be a formal member of the church, as Stan and Ann just became. You simply come at the Spirit's invitation. We serve communion by way of intinction, which means the server will tear off a piece of bread and hand it to you. And then you're invited to gently dip it into the cup. We have gluten-free options available for you at these tables on the end. Let your server know about those. If that is a need that you have, we'd be happy to provide that for you as well. But come, we're all made ready.
I see your light shining on.
unfailing love and amazing grace, we thank you that we have been nourished at this your table. And let the words we just sung be our prayer this day. Let us be servants to one another, making your kingdom come. Having been nourished by your grace, let us be signs of grace and love to a watching world.
You have multiple opportunities to change the world, one act of redeeming kindness at a time. One of those is today. Come back around 12 o'clock or so. Join us for lunch and dedicate an hour to packing 30,000 meals. We're going to go to Honduras. Those might save a young child's life, or to minimum, provide a life preserver for them. Or you have an opportunity to go out and buy some flip-flops for the Honor Center. I knew it was something that's the second word. The Honor Center. So next week we'll be collecting flip-flops for men at the Honor Center, and that is used vitally for them to be able to take showers and for other things. So it's a necessity, not a luxury. Consider participating in that way. I am confident God is putting something on your heart and will continue to each and every day. And so respond to those prompts. Go out there and build the ark that only you can build, one act of redeeming kindness at a time. Go in the love of Christ.